Ever get that like kind of creepy feeling your bank has a little too much say in your life?
Yeah.
Well, today we're diving deep into a legal battle where that question was front and center. It's the case of A. Gay Jensen Farms Covey v. Cargill Inc., decided way back in 1981 by the Supreme Court of Minnesota, but you know, still makes waves in courtrooms even now.
Oh, it's a classic for sure. Like on the surface, just farmers, grain, big corporation, right?
Right.
But underneath, you see how a lender's actions, they can get so fuzzy. It's not just money anymore. They're practically running the business. And that has legal consequences.
Okay, so paint us a picture. We've got Warren Grain and Seed Co., small town Minnesota, grain elevator, buying from local farmers, selling it on, you know, the bigger markets. I'm guessing things weren't exactly booming for them.
Not quite. Warren, they hit some serious financial rough waters, and that's when Cargill comes in. Huge corporation, like major player in the whole grain industry.
Right.
Initially, they're just helping Warren out, you know, typical financing. This was back in 64.
So far, sounds pretty standard, right? Company needs cash, big lender steps in. Where's the twist?
The twist is what Cargill's involvement became, way beyond just a loan. We're talking financing all of Warren's purchases, operations, everything. Not just a part here, a part there. Cargill, they basically became Warren's only lifeline.
Whoa, so they were bankrolling Warren's entire existence, basically. That's a lot of trust, or maybe a lot of control. Is that what we're getting at?
You hit the nail on the head. That's the question the court had to figure out. And it gets even trickier. Cargill starts using veto power on big Warren decisions. Mortgages, stock purchases, the really important stuff.
Mm.
Then they get into the nitty-gritty, scrutinizing salaries, doing these daily audits, even telling Warren they need to get this paternal guidance.
Hold on, paternal guidance? That's not just business advice. It's, I don't know, kind of loaded, right? Like parent-child almost.
Exactly. Simple phrase, but man, it shows the power dynamic. Legally speaking.
Red flag.
Sounds like Cargill's maybe stepping out of the normal lender role and into, well, control.
Okay, I'm seeing where this is going. But how'd the farmers even get involved? Was Cargill calling the shots on their grain purchases too, or what?
It all goes bust when Warren, despite all this supposed guidance from Cargill, they default on contracts with, get this, 86 farmers. Delivered their grain, no payment.
Oof. So the farmers are left high and dry. I'm guessing they figured Cargill's the one with the deep pockets. Right to court they go.
Yep. Farmers sued Cargill, claiming they weren't just a lender. They were the principal for Warren, the one really calling the shots, and therefore responsible for those debts. This is where the legal battle gets juicy.
Because proving that control, not just being a helpful lender, had to be tough. Do they have, like, any smoking gun evidence, or?
They had some good arguments, for sure. One detail that stands out. Warren was basically forced to use Cargill's forms, their letterhead, for their business. Imagine going to a bank for a loan and they say, oh, by the way, use our stationery for everything. That's a message.
Yeah, that's not a suggestion. That's a power move for sure.
Yeah.
Like Cargill wanted it clear that Warren was operating under them. Did the court buy it?
This is what makes A. Gay Jensen Farms Covey Cargill Inc. so important. Court sides with the farmers, says Cargill IS, liable for those debts.
Wow, a win for the little guy. But what was the thinking there? How'd they prove that level of control to the court?
It wasn't one thing, but looking at everything Cargill did. Not just loan terms, but deep involvement in Warren's daily running. That paternal guidance, all the other evidence, it painted a picture. Control way beyond what normal lenders do.
So not just the money, it's the control that matters.
Yeah.
And the court saw Cargill cross that line. Legally speaking, fascinating.
Absolutely. Huge precedent set. A creditor can be liable for what the borrower does if their control goes beyond the norm for lending. But it goes way beyond this one case. It shook things up legally and still influences how we see creditor liability today. What strikes you about all this so far?
Honestly, that paternal guidance thing still gets to me. Like, on its own, sounds innocent, but reveals a whole power thing. Cargill wasn't even trying to hide it anymore.
Great point. Shows how even tiny words can be huge EE evidence in these cases. The little details, that's where the truth is.
Okay, so big legal precedent, corporate giant on the hook for debts of a company they were basically running. What's this all mean for the average person, and maybe more importantly for all the lawyer folks listening in?
Clear message to anyone lending money. Be careful where you step. Just because you're financing doesn't mean you get to run the show. Real risk there could be we holding the bag.
So lenders, they got to walk a fine line. Advice maybe, but not orders, right?
Mm-hmm.
What else should our legal eagles keep in mind from all this?
a Gay Jensen Farms Covey Gargill, Inc. It reinforces something. Actions speak louder than contracts. Even if there's no formal agency agreement, how the creditor acts, that can create liability. Reminder that law, it looks beyond the paper, at the real situation.
So lawyers got to tell their clients, especially lenders, watch out. Don't just focus on the contract. Look at the daily back and forth, the power dynamic, right? Yeah. It's not just what's written down, it's what's actually happening.
You got it. This case from 1981 still gets cited because that line between financing and running a business, it gets blurry fast. Courts are watching.
Heavy stuff. Super important, though, for anyone lending, borrowing money, backstory, court battle, key takeaways for lenders. We covered a lot. What else can we dig into from this landmark case?
Now's where it gets even more interesting, especially for the lawyers out there. Let's switch gears and get into some practical advice how to navigate these waters and not end up like Cargill.
Right. I'm all ears. Hit us with a legal lowdown.
All right, so let's get practical. First thing lawyers got to do is help their clients, especially lenders, get this difference. Helpful suggestions versus controlling directives. Subtle, but huge EE.
Yeah, like friendly advice versus orders from the boss. What are some things lenders should, like, not do if they want to stay on the right side of the law here?
Think of it this way. Lender tells the borrower, you should really cut back on staff, or I wouldn't invest in that new product if I were you. Those sound like suggestions, right?
Yeah.
But depending on the context, who's got the power in that relationship, they could easily be seen as, like, commands.
Ah, so not just the words, but who's saying them. The power behind it, right?
Exactly. And lawyers got to be proactive here, reviewing correspondence, meeting minutes, that kind of stuff, making sure the client's not accidentally becoming the boss in how they talk.
So, legal proofreader for lender communication. Smart. What else?
Contractual rights, audit clauses, veto powers. Those are common in lending, right? But lawyers got to think hard. Are these truly needed? Or are they giving the lender too much control, setting them up for trouble later?
Right, because in Cargill, those rights really bit them. That's why they had so much say over what Moran did.
Exactly. So lender wants a broad veto power. Lawyers got to be asking, is this really about protecting the loan, or is it about power over the borrower's business?
Sounds like lawyers got to be kind of like the voice of reason, pushing back on clauses that give lenders too much power. Anything else to watch out for?
Might seem obvious, but documentation is king. Every interaction, every bit of advice, write it down.
Good life advice in general.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, here, if things go bad, having a clear record of what was said and done, that's gold.
Absolutely. Lender ends up in court accused of too much control. Good documentation, that's their best friend, shows the court they were just lending, not running the show.
Like those note takers in a detective show, gotta get every detail. Makes sense. Anything else?
Be mindful of the language lenders use when they talk about the borrower. Remember Cargill, that paternal word to describe Warren?
Ooh, yeah. Paternal guidance. Still can't get over that one. So revealing.
Right. Shows why lawyers got to be tuned in to any language that sounds like the client thinks they're more than just lender. Set the right tone from the start. Both sides know the boundaries.
So it's not just what they do. It's how they think about the relationship, too. We're here to help, but not to run your business.
Exactly. And this leads to something else important, staying current. A. Gay Jensen Farms Company v. Cargill, Inc. decided decades ago, still relevant because the ideas are fundamental, but lending's changing, right? Fintech, online platforms.
So knowing the old cases isn't enough. Got to understand how they apply to these new, more complicated ways of doing business.
You got it. New tech, new lending models, new ways for lenders to maybe overstep. Lawyers got to be on top of it, understand these new systems so they can give good advice.
Okay, so we've talked about specific steps lawyers can take to help clients avoid these creditor liability problems.
Yeah.
But let's zoom out a bit. Where does this case fit in with, you know, the bigger legal picture? How does it change how we think about lenders and borrowers in general?
Great question. Goes to the heart of why A. Gay Jensen Farms Company Cargill Inc. is so important. Before this, the line between creditor and, like, acting AS, the business owner, it was blurry. Not much guidance on when a lender went too far.
So this case, it kind of cleared things up.
It did. The court said, loud and clear, lenders got to avoid too much control. The contract's not enough. Their actions matter just as much, maybe more.
Can't hide behind a contract if you're acting like the boss, basically.
Right. And it brought this idea of de facto control into the spotlight, meaning control, in fact, even if there's no fancy agreement.
Even if you don't say you're the boss, if you ACT like it, you're on the hook. Powerful stuff.
It is A. Gay Jensen Farms Covey Cargill, Inc. change things in a way that still affects us today. Before, it was all about the formal agreements.
Just the paperwork mattered. If it wasn't in the contract, who cares?
Pretty much, yeah. But this case forced courts, lawyers, everyone to look beyond that. The power dynamic, the daily stuff, the whole context.
More realistic to how these relationships really work, right?
Exactly. And that's why A. Gay Jensen Farms Kavi Cargill, Inc. is so crucial to how commercial law developed.
So not just about some farmers and grain. It changed how we see this whole balance of power between who lends and who borrows money.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty big impact for a case from 1981.
For sure. And it reminds us, legal stuff, it has ripple effects, changes individual cases, but can transform whole industries, even legal ideas themselves.
Okay, covered a lot. Details of the case, bigger picture. What's the big takeaway for our listeners today?
I think it's this. Lender, borrower, it's a delicate relationship. Got to be clear boundaries, understand that power can shift real easy.
Lenders got to be careful, borrowers got to be aware, lawyers got to be sharp, advising everyone how to handle it all.
Absolutely. And as we get into all these super complex financial things, new lending models, what we learned from A. Gay Jensen Farms Company v. Cargill, Inc. matters even more.
Case with staying power, decades later. Makes you wonder, what would those farmers who sued back then think about lending today?
Interesting question. And it's something we'll get into next time when we look at the modern implications of all this.
Ooh, a cliffhanger. I like it. Listeners, grab another coffee, maybe a snack. We'll be right back to wrap up our deep dive into A. Gay Jensen Farms Company v. Cargill, Inc. All right, listeners, welcome back to our deep dive on A. Gay Jensen Farms Company, Cargill, Inc. We got the story, the legal arguments, even some tips for our lawyer friends out there.
Now, the grand finale, let's time travel to today and see how this case from, was it 1981, still matters in our world.
Legal time machine, I'm in.
Yeah.
So what's different about lending since those farmers took on Cargill? I'm guessing it's gotten a tad more complex.
Oh, you're not wrong. Back then, mostly banks, pretty straightforward loans. Now, whoa, it's a whole different ballgame. Fintech companies, peer-to-peer lending, algorithms making decisions, wild west of lenders out there.
Yeah, those fintech companies, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
It makes getting loans super easy, but
it is that.
Not always good. Could these new lenders end up in the same mess as Cargill if they're not careful?
$1 million question. And this is where A. Gay Jensen Farms Country v. Cargill, Inc. gets really interesting even now. Remember, the court was focused on how much control Cargill had over Warren.
Right.
So imagine an algorithm constantly watching what the borrower spends, changing interest rates in real time, even blacking some transactions automatically.
Oh, that's control on a whole other level, like financial big brother.
Exactly. Big legal questions there. If that algorithm has that much power, could the company behind it be held liable, even if no human's making those calls directly?
Mind-blowing. So A. Gay Jensen Farms Cargill, Inc., it's not just for old school banks anymore. It's for this whole digital lending world, too.
Absolutely. And it gets even trickier when you throw in things like venture debt. Investors giving money to startups, right? But they want equity or notes that can convert to stock later. Huge for startups these days.
Venture debt. Yeah, it's like investing and lending all mixed together, right? Riskier, but could pay off big, too.
You got it. And with more risk, usually comes wanting more control. These venture debt folks, they negotiate for board seats, veto power, getting really involved in the company's big decisions.
So it's like A. Gay Jensen Farms Company v. Cargill, Inc. But the stakes are even higher. That line between investor and running the business gets even blurrier.
Exactly. So new questions. If the venture debt investor has too much say, do they become like a partner sharing in the liability if things go south?
That's a scary thought for both sides.
Yeah.
So are we saying all fintech lenders, venture debt people, they're doomed to lawsuits?
Nah, not at all. But it's a wake-up call for everyone. As tech keeps changing, lending gets more complex, we got to go back to the basics. Those creditor liability rules from cases like A. Gay Jensen Farms Kobe Cargill, Inc., they still matter.
So taking those old legal ideas and applying them to this new world of finance, making sure the law keeps up.
Exactly. Challenge for everyone. Lawyers, regulators, the courts. Got to find that balance. We want cool new financial stuff, but also got to protect people from too much control, you know, unfair influence.
Tough balance. So A. Gay Jensen Farms Kobe Cargill, Inc. It's not just some old case. It's shaping how we think about lending right now.
For sure. Reminds us, law's not static. It changes as society does, as technology does. always trying to find that balance between all the different interests.
It's like an ongoing conversation, figuring things out as we go. Kind of cool, actually.
It is. And that's what makes law so interesting, you know? It's not just memorizing rules. It's the ideas behind them and how to apply them to a world that never stops changing.
Well said. I think we've given our listeners plenty to chew on. Huge thanks to our expert for navigating us through all this legal stuff.
Happy to be here.
And listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into A. Gay Jensen Farms Code of E. Carrigill, Inc. Hope you learned something new about creditor liability and this whole lender-borrower relationship. Until next time, stay curious and keep those legal minds sharp.